remind and convict us by the power of the Holy Spirit of the forgiveness that we have through faith in Jesus. And I pray that you will help me to be faithful to your word. Bless the hearers of this word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm surprised you guys are surprised. Yes. It's fine. Well, Asibi, thank you again. And so today we are looking at the Lord's Prayer again. And thank you, Solomon, for last week preaching to us. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And then he said to them, "When you pray," not if you pray, "when you pray, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation." And so this morning, my focus is going to be on verse 4a. "And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive those who sin against us." I want to suggest that most of us know this phrase, and we use it almost all the time. I've even used it this morning. "I'm sorry, forgive me." And that's something that we use. In fact, whether it comes to any kind of relationship that we find ourselves in our marriages, we know whenever we wrong someone, whether it's in our actions or our inactions, it's something that we have done or something that we didn't do. We know, and we all know, that not only do we hurt that individual that we wrong, but we actually hurt the relationship itself that we have with them. And the only way to fix and to bring to restoration or reconciliation to that relationship is admitting it and simply going before that person and humbly asking him for forgiveness. As we look at this text, just as Jesus taught his disciples, we also acknowledge that we have a similar and even a rougher one with our God in heaven. To see that we have wronged him, and so Jesus calls us to prayer as he teaches us to learn to come to the Father to forgive us our sins. The connection, however, between the request and the willingness to forgive shows that we have this inherent recognition that whatever it is that we come to the Lord and asking him to forgive us for, we should also assume that same posture to forgive others when they wrong us. And so the lesson we learned from this is that God's response to us in forgiving us should influence how we also treat others who wrong us. And so a scripture in Ephesians 4:32 reads, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." Again, in Colossians 3:13, "Bearing with one another, and if one has any complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." The request for forgiveness then suggests a certain degree of awareness of our own condition. It is not something that we assume. We know, we are aware of this condition. And so this model that we have, Jesus shows us, teaches us of something that we are, all of us here are familiar with. There is none of us here who would say that we've never read the Lord's Prayer. Back in my basic school, it was a recital. It's something that we did every morning. Yet, I dare say that this scripture, it's one of the most challenging and life-altering scriptures to encounter. If you focus and read the scripture and ask the Holy Spirit to give understanding to you, you will be shocked as to what the Lord is saying in this prayer. In this prayer, from the beginning, we are taught to honor God as our Father, but not just any kind of Father, but our Father who is heaven, who is in heaven. And his name is hallowed. He is holy. This is the kind of Father that we go to in prayer. And he begins by saying that our Father, so we don't personalize it. It's a communal thing. He's all of us, our Father. And so you don't take ownership of him and say that he's going to do to just you and not to the others. And so we come to him as our Father. Not just our Heavenly Father, but we also, in the prayer, is to seek that his kingdom would come. And so what are we asking that his kingdom come to do? We're asking that his rulership, he would govern us, and we're acknowledging him as our king. And then again, we are saying that he should supply our daily needs. And so we are saying that we are depending on him for our daily physical sustenance. Every day we are coming to him and we are saying that physically, would you sustain us by giving us our daily bread? And then we are asking that he would forgive us. Also acknowledging that spiritually, we also need him to sustain us. So he doesn't just sustain us physically, but he sustains us spiritually by forgiving us. So in verse 4, which is my focus this morning, we are reminded that sin, therefore, then, is a universal problem. We all have that problem. Just as forgiveness is a universal need. We are reminded that forgiving a person, if we go to God and we are asking God to forgive us, then we ourselves should also be in a position to also forgive. So a forgiving person is to be a forgiving person. In fact, the right to ask for forgiveness assumes that willingness that we ought to respond in a similar fashion. And Jesus throws this invitation to us. Come to God, ask him to release you from what you owe him. Ask him to let go, to not hold it against us. But we are reminded that these people, this disciple, was already a follower of Jesus Christ. So in the Gospel of Matthew 6, they have acknowledged Jesus as their king. So they are following Jesus. This is someone that they have put their trust in. And so the disciple comes to Jesus and he says that, teach us how to pray. This is a petition for God's mercy, because we must admit that though we are saved, so these are not like unbelievers coming to God. These are believers who are coming to God and asking him to forgive. And so that is for us to admit that even in our current state and walk with the Lord, we ought to admit that we are not yet there. And so in this part of eternity, we still struggle. And so Jesus is calling us that, come. Just come as you are and ask the Lord's mercy. Because we admit that we continue to sin even though we are saved. And Jesus acknowledges that himself, hence teaching us to pray for forgiveness of sin. This morning, I want you to consider your own relationship. You know the kind of relationship that you are in. And I want to say that the more you are wronged or you wrong or sin against the people that you are in with, being it your wife, your husband, your friend, as long as we wrong them and we go without saying sorry, the more we damage that relationship, the further we will drift apart and the harder it will be for us to come back and say, sorry, forgive me. Jesus understands this reality better than any of us. And so he's calling us to daily come before the Lord and ask him to forgive us. And the relationship we also have with God, made possible by Jesus, Jesus our good news, is also like that. If we stay away without coming to the Lord daily and asking him to forgive us, a time will come when it will be difficult for us to really come back, as long as we are dependent on our own self. So Jesus is teaching us to daily come to the Father with this heart posture of asking for forgiveness. And so our forgiving prayers is directed to our Father in heaven. We know, don't we, that where we are in this part of Luke's gospel, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, those who have put their faith in him as their king. Now, I want us to consider this scripture in three lights. So I would just hit on three main highlights and then begin to talk about it. We need God's forgiveness, all of us. We have acknowledged that sin is a universal problem, just as forgiveness is a universal need. And forgive us our sins, forgive us our trespasses. We are saying to God that cancel our debt, trespasses, crossing the line. And I'm sure all of us here have seen that inscription, especially on our landed properties. Do not trespass. And most of the time you have it in red inscriptions, danger, indicating that this is my space. Don't trespass. Don't cross this line. But that's what we do with God. We cross the line with him all the time. What does it mean that we trespass? We cross that. We move into the domain of God's glory, and we want to appropriate things for ourselves. We want to determine what is good and what is bad. We want to make that determination for ourselves. We don't want to rely on God for our own well-being. We can't really trust his judgment for our life. We can't trust the way he's running his own world. He created this world, but we just can't trust him with how he's running this world. We cross the line. We do that all the time. And the idols of our hearts exposes us. In the book of Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of God's glory. And so regardless of your position, education, economic status, age, gender, we've all sinned. Sin in thought, actions, inaction, words, failing to do what is right. And so we therefore need to recognize our own spiritual poverty before God and be moved in humility towards him. Jesus makes us to understand that true spiritual growth begins when we acknowledge this truth of our weakness and how we struggle. And so he calls us to come to God confessing our sins before him. Interestingly, when we are asked to pray for forgiveness of sins, one of the prayers that we prayed silently, no matter how loud you are in prayer, anytime it comes to prayer for your own sin, because you admit that it's against God, and so you want to just deal with it, and you don't want people to really know because you're afraid that if they get to know, you know. We hardly want people to hear what we are asking forgiveness from. Let's ask ourselves, are we aware of our need for God's mercy? As you are seated right there, are you aware? Is it something that you periodically, readily go to him every day confessing your sin? Or have you become comfortable with sin because you have excuses for why you do the things that you do? But whatever your answer may be, it should actually move you to God and ask him to forgive you. In 1 John 1:10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And we all know that God is not a man to lie. And his word is not in us. And so a continuous repentance and dependence on God's grace will be an evidence of us working and maturing and following Jesus in our walk with God. The second thing about this prayer that the Lord teaches us is that God is willing to forgive us our sins. And he's not just willing. He can. You can will something and you don't have the power to do it. But he wills it and he's got what it takes to give us forgiveness. The willingness from the text is not overt, but it goes with he can forgive sins. And how do we know? How do we know from this text that God can forgive and he will? Well, we know because he says we should pray. We know because he says we should pray. So let's come to him in prayer. Jesus is teaching us. He's teaching us something and revealing something beautiful about who God is. How can you pray? You can only pray when you know who God is. That's the only time. How can you have communication or engage with deeper conversations with people? It's because you know them. And the more you know someone, the intimate and the deeper conversations that arises out of the relationship. And so Jesus is saying that we should come to him and pray. But how can we? How can we pray? We can only pray when we know who he is. But what do we know about God? We know that God is merciful. We know that God delights. We know that God delights in forgiving repentant sinners. And more than that, in 1 John 1:9, says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Ephesians 1:7, we understand that in him we have redemption. Through him we have redemption. His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. We were dead in our trespasses and the uncircumcision of our flesh, but God made us alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. Jesus did this for us. He nailed it on the cross once and for all for us. His willingness to forgive sin is also seen in Isaiah 55:7 of how he does that instantly. And so God is not going to linger and say, once you come to him and you say that, forgive me, as long as you come with a repentant heart, instantly, God wants to forgive you. And when he forgives, he forgets completely. He's not going to hold that against you. Jesus is pointing us to something that not only is God willing to forgive, because, like I said, if you're willing to forgive and you don't have the power to do that, then what's the point? I'll remind you of something that happened in the book of Mark, when the paralytic man and his friends, they dropped that guy in the sitting among Jesus and the scribes. They were actually coming to look for healing for this guy. But the first thing Jesus says to this guy, he says, son, your sins are forgiven. The scribes, we know them, they're questioning their hearts. And rightly so, rightly so. Come on, Jesus, give us a break. You've done enough. You've been saying a lot of things. Who can forgive sin but God alone? But that is true. Who can forgive sin? The problem with that is that they forgot or they didn't recognize who Jesus was. That God right there and confessing and administering only what Jesus can do. This morning, what really is your sin? What is the weight of the sin that you carry? And what is the seriousness of this sin? Again, say to yourself that God is not only willing to forgive that sin, but he can. And he is faithful. And we can trust him that he will forgive. But here is the thing. If we say all of this about God, that he's willing and able and he will, then we've got to come to him in faith. And how do we demonstrate this faith? Prayer. Prayer. When you have prayed to him, and when you have truly, genuinely experienced this forgiveness from God, then it will lead you to something, something beautiful. It will lead you to demonstrate the same thing that you have received from him. And that will lead us to our next point. Then we'll have the responsibility to also forgive others. You have no option when you have freely, you know the weight of your sin. And if God has truly forgiven you, you have no option but to move to the line of practicing the same forgiveness that you have received from God. But this is where we always go wrong when we say that those who have been forgiven should also forgive. Especially when someone is battling with something that has really been meted out to him or her, that is so difficult for the person to let go. But actually what the Lord was doing in teaching us this prayer was that it's not in us. Our natural disposition does not allow us to do this. It's not in our ability to forgive others. But to ultimately depend on Jesus, not only to forgive our own sin, but to help us forgive those who have hurt us. And when we depend and gradually and always coming to him, knowing that it's not a thing in us to forgive people, but it's a God thing. That forgiveness is divine. That's what forgiveness is. It's a God thing. And so that should draw us closer to God daily, depending on him and asking him to help us to do the same thing that he's done for us, but acknowledging that we cannot do it outside of him. We need him to help us do what he has done for us to others. A classic example of this is found in the book of Matthew 18:21-35. And we know the story. The king forgives this servant the king was actually going to throw his entire family to jail, and he begs. The king forgives him. Moments after him receiving that forgiveness, he encounters his colleague servant who owed him something small. And this guy earnestly begs him to forgive. We know the story. He throws him in jail. But logically, one would have thought it makes sense. You have been forgiven so much. Why can't you let go? Even if you are not in the position to do that, go to the master and ask him how he did it. Friends, we need help from God. We need his help. I want to say, if you are here this morning and really struggling to forgive that individual, you know whoever that individual is. My question to you will be, do you truly believe God has forgiven you? It's not just giving a lip service. Do you believe that God has forgiven you? If you do believe that, it does something to you. The same thing that makes you to come to him and ask him that what you have received from him, it should help you to work it in your life to forgive others. If we have indeed truly received forgiveness from God, then we should go to him and ask him to help us do the same for those who wrong us. Think about someone who really hurts you so bad. And just suppose that alongside ways you have also hurt God, grieving the Holy Spirit. We grieve him all the time. So just think about that. What Jesus have done for us through this teaching of prayer is that he frees us from the impossible sum of our debts. He frees us. And not just that, he invites us to allow God's compassion to soften our own hearts. To soften our own hearts towards those who wrong us. And that also frees them from the debt they owe us. As our hearts are softened and we move towards people in forgiveness by the help of the Spirit, as we do that individually, communally as a church, then we begin to heal the fractures that tear us apart. And then we begin to have a prayer of dedication to God to say that, please, help us. That we are going to serve others just as you have served us. And that we are also going to see others in the light of God's grace. Remind you, he begins the prayer by saying, Our Father. So he is not just your father. that guy you said have hurt you badly, as long as he has also trusted and put his faith in Christ Jesus, God is also his father. If God have done all of this for us, and we can trust him and depend on him to also help us do the same for others, as we push back and we begin to resist the sin that the Lord have done for us, our unwillingness to forgive would only point to how we dishonor the Father who has demonstrated this love towards us when we were yet sinners. When we were yet sinners. That's what we do. We dishonor him. And what do we do to the other saints who see us live this? We discourage them. Because they want to see us do better. They want to see us live the godly way because they know that the Spirit of God is in us. And so they are discouraged when they see the saints hold on so much that they are not willing and able to forgive. When the willingness and ableness have been enabled by the Lord himself, the unbelievers, they throw their hands in despair. These people who claim that they have known the Lord are in faith are not willing to forgive. Then, I mean, what is expected of us? We've got to continue living in our sinfulness. Because we are not under any kingship and his domain and rulership. These people who are under the King of the King of Kings will not even forgive. And then the other guy, the devil, he is delighted. He wants to see us function that way in disunity. Guys, forgiveness is divine. We don't set out in the morning and say that I'm going out there to forgive all the people who have hurt me. It's not in us. We don't have that ability. And so Jesus is inviting us to daily come to our Father and ask him to help us spiritually, coming to him and asking him to help us. To conclude this sermon, my friends, I want to say that forgiveness is costly. It's not free. It's not free to the one who is giving it. You have to forgo something to satisfy that. There is an opportunity cost to it. It's not free. It's not free to you giving. And so for us receiving it from God, it's not cheap. For God, it cost him his only begotten son. It cost him to be hanged on that cross. And what did Jesus do? Nothing. It cost him. So forgiveness is not cheap. To change our emotions on forgiveness, we have to change our devotion. Stop dwelling on what has been done against you. But rather, think worship. Dwell and focus on what God has done for you. Dwell and focus on what God has done for you in and through his Son, Christ Jesus. If you are going to pray this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, know that this prayer would alter everything about your life. It changes you. May the Lord bless us all. Amen. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, you know our hearts. Heal us. Heal our unbelief. Forgive us, Lord. Thank you that you have what it takes to forgive. Thank you, Lord, that you have forgiven us. We pray all this in Jesus' name.